Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life Radio Show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fabulous Wednesday. And it's a fabulous Wednesday here at Power Your Life Radio because we have two fabulous guests that are going to share their wisdom with you and hopefully connect you to resources that may help you and your loved ones. And today our focus is going to be on breast cancer. And I was really startled because I've done some research and I've been looking at several different sites, including Susan G. Komen's site for The Cure, and looking at some statistics which are really startling. So even though there's been a lot of progress in the last 30 years to identify the risk factors for breast cancer, some of these factors can create more risk than others. Some factors lower the risk. And even though we've learned a lot, it seems as though researchers and medical practitioners really don't understand the causes of breast cancer and why it develops in one person versus another person. And one of the statistics that I found earlier this morning was really astounding, and that is that in the United States, one in eight women will develop breast cancer sometime in her lifetime. That's a pretty frightening statistic, folks. And so we're going to talk to somebody, Susan Hunter, who's created an incredible website, a community to help women and their loved ones, and help women specifically who have breast cancer and find resources. And Susan Hunter's abilities for connecting people and concepts and her passion for technology and her entrepreneurial spirit are the basis for her success. For over a decade, Susan's worked with clients for product promotion, advertising, and web technology to both simplify their business and to help with the marketing process. She's an advocate of integrated healthcare, combining holistic therapies with traditional medicine, and is the co-founder of this community that I've been talking about, forwholeness.com, which is an online community that connects women with both traditional mainstream medicine and with holistic practitioners. This community, forwholeness.com, has an initial focus on breast cancer, and it empowers women to gain the knowledge and connections that they need on their journey to health and wellness. It also provides a platform for healthcare providers and professionals who are passionate about, and I love this, and this is what Susan wrote to me here, about putting the care back into patient care to engage and educate patients. So, Susan, I know you're on the line. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Happy Wednesday.
Thank you. I'm glad you're here. So let's go back a little bit, too, because this website, and it's an incredible website, folks, and it's an incredible community, and I'm proud to be a member of it and a practitioner on the site. But I want to know, and I'm sure our listening audience would love to know, what sort of was the motivation, Susan, behind creating this site?
Well, although this is focused on breast cancer, and your statistics are everything that we've heard as well, you know, when you look at breast cancer, it affects more than just the woman with breast cancer. It affects the family, the caregivers. I think most of us out there know at least one person that has or has had breast cancer in their life. But there's more than breast cancer. It's there's a piece about empowering women to learn about what pieces in their life will help them become whole. So, you know, you look at nutrition, you look at lifestyle, you look at stress in today's world. There's another statistic out there that says 70 to 80% of all disease, not just breast cancer, is somehow related to nutrition. So, you know, tells me that, go ahead.
I just want to go back a little bit. What was the reason, though? I mean, why did you want to create this site and start off with breast cancer?
The short answer is it's about empowering women, but there had to be a focus. And breast cancer is something that affects more than just 1 in 8 women. It affects their families. So it affects many, many people in the United States and the world.
You know what? I also learned that there's a small population of men who also get breast cancer. That was a totally surprising statistic for me because I didn't even think that way.
Yeah, and when you go back and you look at it, so, you know, no one really talks about what causes the breast cancer. There's a very small percentage of patients with breast cancer that are genetic. I mean, I don't remember, it's 2 or 3% of the breast cancer out there, I believe, is a genetic breast cancer. So if you go back and you look at what's causing it, it's disease, and there's so much of it in the United States, and we'll go back to the holistic piece. You know, it's nutrition, it's lifestyle, it's stress. All the pieces that are causing disease, breast cancer is one of them, but it's disease in general. So I'm not sure if that answers your question, but the passion is empowerment and taking hold of health. Breast cancer is one of the diseases that is rampant in the United States, a very big one for women particularly.
You know, I've just learned through a couple of my clients that there are several rare diseases that are very unknown to doctors and to the medical community, and they don't know how to treat these diseases, and it's just amazing because one of the women that I've been working with actually gave this statistic because she's been doing a lot of research. She said that more people in this country, in the United States, are dying of rare diseases than people with cancer, not necessarily breast cancer, but with cancer and heart disease. And yet, we don't know enough about it. So you're talking about empowerment and nutrition and better self-care is a very important factor. And yet I wish that we knew so much more about what causes these diseases and what we need to do in our country and also in the world to really kind of mitigate that in some way. Wish we had the answers.
Well, you know, there's been a lot of study and research done over the years, and a lot of money spent on research. And I think some of that money and time and effort would be better focused on looking at some of the pieces of the way that we as Americans live. And I'm going to go back to nutrition and lifestyle and stress, emotional and spiritual health, and you write articles about that stuff. You know, it's those pieces can tear a person down. You know, emotional and spiritual health, if it's not in alignment to who a person is truly, it can affect the physical body.
You know, you're so right about that. And stress, I mean, in this country, the stress, people think, oh, we have such blessed lives here, but we're not. And people are more stressed out and more busy than in other kinds of places in other countries. And that, like you said, is a big contributing factor to diseases and to cancer.
Sure. And I'm going to take it a step further and just hone in on how that affects women, because so many of us spend our lives focusing on everything around us. So we care for the family. We care and take care of the employer's needs, the employee's needs, kids, household, spouse, partner, whatever it may be. And it seems to me that no matter who I talk to, so often we put ourselves at the bottom of the list. And the pieces, going back to self-love, emotional care and spiritual care, stress reduction, you know, if you don't have time, the stress has got to be increased. I would think instead of standing in, you know, in front of lab bottles and looking at, you know, at some of the scientific things, we ought to spend a little more time and effort teaching people about nutrition and how to honor themselves.
You know, that's so essential. And yesterday was Valentine's Day, and one of the things that I said to people when I was reaching out on social media sites was, okay, what are you doing for you today? Because how many of us, women especially, because you really kind of clarify that, we are caregivers, and we put everybody, like you said, Susan, everybody else first. But so how many of us make the time in our busy lives to take care of ourselves? And I bet that number is really small. And so you're right, if we were educating people more about that, maybe these diseases like cancer and breast cancer, maybe they would be decreased. Let's talk about your incredible community and the website and what it's involved. So and I encourage people to go to 4wholeness, that's the number 4, 4wholeness.com, and really check out this community. But you have Susan firsthand to tell us about it.
Well, thanks. I'm thrilled to do that. And I've touched on nutrition and the stress and so forth. But you know, this website brings together all kinds of healthcare professionals, from breast surgeons and oncologists to yoga instructors, acupuncturists, massage therapists, cancer coaches, homeopathic doctors. So a wide range, because we're all different and have our own unique needs. So there's a lot of information that comes together in the form of multimedia and articles. One of the things I'm really excited about is for breast cancer patients specifically, we are just launching now private online support groups where women can go, their groups can go, and connect, support each other between their FACE meetings, their monthly face-to-face meetings in a location. And that was really inspired by a woman we met down in West Virginia at one of the recent conferences, who said, you know, when it snows, we're out in the hills. We can't get together. People miss their support groups, and it can be a month, 2 months, 3 months before we get together. The Internet equalizes that and allows people to come together in one location and meet and support each other, which is really what
and
women
not,
do, isn't it?
Right, but not just in one state. What the beauty of it is that people can come together to this online community from all over, and therefore they can get more information and support one another in a larger way than if they were just going to, let's say, a location in New Jersey or Pennsylvania or West Virginia, like you said.
Sure. In fact, our community is actually the largest area of our community is in California, actually, in the Los Angeles area. Although we're physically based in Pennsylvania, you know, L.A. is first, New York is second, and it goes from there. I think there's only one state in the United States that we don't have membership in. So for a site that's 4 months old, we've grown pretty rapidly.
That's incredible. Highlight some of the other aspects that are on the website for people. Like who would benefit from going and finding more information on this site?
Well, obviously the breast cancer patients and survivors, also their loved ones, caregivers, but women in general. There's a lot of great information on there. There are recipes popping up now that are really healthy and they taste good, which is even better. You know, going on there and reading the articles, there's a lot of great information that's good for everyone. And I'm going to go back to nutrition and lifestyle to talk about learning how to love yourself. There's downloadable meditation. I like to put it on my iPhone and go someplace and be able to create that practice. And women who've thought about it but don't want to go to a meditation class because they don't know if they can do it, to have that download and take it and do it privately and be able to get the benefits of meditation. There's videos there, some great videos, talking about the benefits of different therapies. Why is yoga good? What are the benefits of good diet? So how many people out there know that acupuncture can really nurture the soul? And, you know, there's a lot to learn along the way about each of those modalities, and we may know one, two, or four or five of them, but to know how we benefit, that's what this site delivers, really.
You know, you've talked a lot, Susan, about nutrition. So can you give us some healthy ideas for our listeners in terms of maybe not just breast cancer alone, but that really serves us in terms of self-care?
You know, it's funny. One of the phrases I heard recently was, if we learn to shop the perimeter of a store. And what that means is, you know, we go to the vegetables, we go to the pieces that are fresh and local. I know that since we've started this journey in our household, we've changed our diet tremendously because the nutrition that we get from plant-based foods that come from the ground, is so much better for us, our physical body, than the stuff we buy in cans or going to a fast food place. I mean, I'll admit, I took my kids to McDonald's when they were little, but would I take them now? Absolutely not. Or any fast food place. I just, you know, the idea of plant-based foods, and I'm not a nutritionist, but obviously that, you know, fresh vegetables and fresh foods, we're learning that, you know, staying away from certain products. I'd go on the site and listen to what the nutritionists have to say. There are movies out there that we've been watching that talk about some of the way meat is processed in the United States and other foods that we ingest.
I would also I would also recommend to people, if they're buying things, to really read the label, because sometimes it says healthy product, and then you look at the ingredients, and I've been amazed, and I'm saying, initially, how could this be in a health food store, for one? Aren't you paying attention when you're buying this and promoting it like as in a health food store? But so we really have to be very well-rounded people who are buying products and whatever.
And that's the question.
Really have to be educated.
If you don't know what's in that, ask what's in it if you don't know. I mean, something that has a can that has 20 ingredients on the back, I'd question what they all are, particularly if I can't say them. So,
and a lot of them, you're right, a lot of them you can't say. I just want to say one thing about food, because you know I do a lot with energy, and what a lot of research suggests, Susan and listeners, is that food, fresh foods like fruits and vegetables that you've been talking about, have more energy in terms of giving us the positive benefits and the energy to move forward in our lives and our day than the products that you're talking about, like canned vegetables or canned food. So it really is about live foods have more energy, and what would we want to put into our being, into our bodies, but more foods that are alive and that can give us the energy that we need to move forward. So tell us a little bit about the network of healthcare professionals. You mentioned some of them. What else, what other specific professionals are on the site, and how do they blend together? Because you've talked about both holistic and regular medicine. How do they come together, or do they?
Well, they do, because they're sharing information on the site, and everybody really is on a level playing field. And I'm going to go back to the oncologist and the yoga instructor. Both have something equally important to say if someone's looking for what resonates with their health and wholeness. So our healthcare professionals submit and provide a lot of the content on the site, whether it be with written articles or video or podcasts. So they're telling, they are providing to the community information about why what they are doing in their profession benefits someone as they journey to wholeness. And in your case, I know that you've written articles about emotional health and self-love. We had one article over the holidays that was really well-read. I think we had 17,000 people look at it. It was dealing with stress and breast cancer and the holidays all at once, and it was good practical tips. There's a lot of people out there looking for this information, and it's just, you know, how can I make my life easier?
And
well,
that's so important
during time. Yeah.
Now, I don't know if this is something that you do or that you're intending to do, but as you were talking, I had this idea pop into my head, because you're providing a kind of place for people, for women to chat together. Is there a way for the practitioners to have that dialogue online as well? Is that something that's featured, or is that something that you're going to do?
There isn't now, but that's a great suggestion. As I said, this is a newly launched site 4 months ago, so we're growing and we're open to suggestions and what people are looking for. We'd love to have people come to the site and join the community and let us know, you know, what would you like to see on there? This is all about the community and just providing good, solid information across the board that help people become whole.
What's there for those people who are caregivers to people with breast cancer? Are there specific articles, or what kind of information, Susan, is available?
Well, again, it's the same format, multimedia articles, video, and so forth. And depending on what that caregiver is looking for, if they're looking for ways to deal with the emotions and to move forward, you know, they should listen to, you know, what the coaches have to say and read some of the articles. If they're looking to on you know, various kinds of ways to help someone relax, you know, maybe they want to listen to the meditation. Maybe they want to hear what the yoga instructors have to say. Maybe they want to read something about emotional health. And how does that work in what they're doing? I don't know that it's different for any particular person coming to the site. The reason we provide such a wide range of information is that each particular case is unique, and they can search for what suits. If they go in and look under pain, they can find what articles are associated with pain. If they do a search and look under spirituality, they'll find what's associated with that in that category.
Now, you've interviewed, I believe, a lot of women who have breast cancer, as well as practitioners. And what seems to be some very major concerns that seem to be repeated over and over in your experience?
Concerns in the healing process, or it's pretty wide.
Yeah, in the healing process. Yeah, I know. I just thought we'll see what you come up with.
Well,
yeah, in the healing process.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because everybody goes into it with a different attitude. I think I'd like to take a spin on that. And the thing that impressed me most, as I have been talking with women, is how much they reach out and help each other. And I get this visual when I start talking about it, and it's women with one hand reaching out to get help, and the other hand behind them, you know, reaching to help someone else, because truly this creates a community in itself. One of the statements that I've heard many times lately is, you know, we talk about breast cancer and breast cancer survivors, but thriving after breast cancer is learning that, in my opinion, that you can go way beyond just getting the disease removed and actually changing your life beneficially based on the lessons you learn from it. And, you know, the woman you're speaking with next is a perfect example of that. And she helps, Joan helps people all the time. She's a wonderful yoga instructor and just a very great soul. But, you know, stepping beyond just getting over the disease is not really where it's at. And that's this site is taking people to a new place. It's saying it's not just about getting over cancer. It's about figuring out how to become your best self, to be totally, it's not being devoid of disease. It's being well and being whole as a person.
You know, I love that, and I think we're going to end with that concept because I think that's so important. It's being well and whole, and whatever that means to each one of us. And as you've touched upon, nutrition and self-care and stress relief and all those factors contribute to a sense of wellness that we have about ourselves. So, Susan, how do people get a hold of you, get a hold of the site, connect to this incredible site, and get the information that they need?
Well, they can visit our site is, as you said, forwholeness.com. That's the number four and wholeness.com. They can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/forwholeness or follow us on Twitter at forwholenessnet. And if they want to shoot me an email, they can send the email to susan@forwholeness.com. I'd be happy to answer any questions or explore things that are on the site with them.
Well, Susan, I appreciate so much about what you're doing because you're really so selfless in many ways to take your time and put so much energy and devotion to helping other people and to provide this incredible community and resource for, as you said, not just for women with breast cancer, but for their families and the caregivers. So kudos to you, and thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you, and thank you also for being a part of our healthcare professional network. You're it's a wonderful asset to the site, and we really appreciate you being there.
Well, thank you, and hopefully that guided meditation, I don't know if it's up soon, that we did, hope that I did a few weeks, actually I think it was last week with Kevin, hopefully that's going to be up, because that's going to be a free way for people to, like you said, get access to relaxation on the site and do it without having to go to a class. So
yep.
I look forward
yep,
to
it'll be up
that.
There soon.
Okay,
absolutely.
Great. And thanks so much, Susan. Have a blessed day.
Oh, you also. Take care.
Take care. Next, we're going to have, as Susan was talking about, a breast cancer survivor, Joan McDevitt, who's a licensed pharmacist and an experienced yoga instructor who has education in holistic integrative therapy. She's a registered yoga therapist, a certified Reiki practitioner, and aromatherapist. And she knows, I mean, firsthand, because she's survived breast cancer, how the importance, rather, and the benefit of including Eastern healing therapies in the prevention, treatment, and in the recovery of serious illnesses and serious conditions. And she's a strong advocate for those. And so I believe we have Joan on the line. Are you there?
I'm here. Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I want to go because I know a lot of people have tuned in, and there are some people who've tuned in who do have breast cancer and who are really looking for some pointers and to really find out about your journey, your personal journey with it, and to come out on the other side. So can you tell us about your journey with breast cancer?
Sure. Back in 2007, I was first diagnosed with invasive lobular cancer. At the time, I was given the option of just having one breast removed. They thought that would be, you know, certainly adequate. But after my pathology report came back showing that actually there was more than one type of cancer in my right breast, I sat with the information, talked to my doctors, and decided I was going to go up and above and have the bilateral mastectomy, just so I wouldn't have to deal with it anymore or worry about it. So I went ahead and had that done and recovered. Took about 6 months to go through that and the reconstruction. And then, unfortunately, 2 years later, I was re-diagnosed with breast cancer. And at that time, went through surgery again and radiation for 6 weeks. And here I am. So that's, in a nutshell, my story of my breast cancer.
I know a lot of women who've gone through breast cancer. I also coach a lot of women with breast cancer and use energy work and a lot of different modalities as you do. And my question to you is, you're a breast cancer survivor. However, do you ever get that out of your head that there's always that continued risk, or what are your feelings and thoughts about that as you go through your life?
Right. I will say that after my first diagnosis, because I was told that I caught it early and that it was stage one, and that having the bilateral mastectomy, they thought was up and above doing that, that I had 1 in 100, 1% chance of actually ever getting it again, I really felt good about it. But then when I was that 1 in 100, when I was re-diagnosed, I can honestly say that's when I felt like my world shattered, because I wasn't expecting it, and I believe the statistics. And I feel like that we have to, we have to cling on to that in some ways so that we don't lose hope. But at the same time, I know that cancer doesn't discriminate. I was very healthy when I was diagnosed with cancer. I always say I'm the healthiest person other than having breast cancer twice. I lived a pretty clean life. I've been practicing yoga for almost 10 years at the time, teaching it as well. Here I was, that person. I didn't feel like I should be the face of breast cancer, but at the same time, like I said, it doesn't discriminate. So I will say that, after the second diagnosis, I really had to really focus on the practices that I had been using for all those years and kind of begin to walk the talk and practice what I'd been preaching to all my students and clients those years. And it is the reason, all those practices are the reason, I believe, that I'm still here today.
I think that's wonderful in terms of the practices and kind of needing to, I love what you said, practice what you preach, because sometimes I talk about people about making time for themselves and doing activities that cause less stress, and then I find myself not paying attention to what I'm saying. So that's a wake-up call for all of us. I want to ask you a question. Many women who are on the line have families, whether it's spouses and children. What's their response or their reaction to their parent or their spouse or child, whatever, who has breast cancer? What do you do with them?
Well, I can honestly say my daughter was 8 years old when I was first diagnosed, and she took it very hard. She had difficulty going to school and staying at school. I remember right after I was discharged from the hospital, still having drains coming out of my body. I would drive my car to the parking lot of her school and park right underneath her window so she could look outside and see that I was there. That's the only way she would stay in class all day. I don't know what it's like to be the child of a breast cancer survivor. I don't know what it's like to be the spouse of a breast cancer survivor. I will say that I took it as an opportunity to kind of teach a lesson to my kids, and that lesson would be that, life is going to give you difficult things, and life is not always fair, whether it be breast cancer or something else, and you will have something that you have to deal with in your life. But if you can get through it with strength and grace, then that's your purpose. That's the gift you're going to give someone else to be able to get through something difficult in their life. And that's the way that I looked at it. I looked at it more as an opportunity to reach out, you know, to not only my family members, but my friends and people in my community, and be the example of how you deal with difficult situations.
You know, that's so important what you said, Joan, strength and grace, because I do believe exactly what you said, that we are given whatever it is, we are given challenges, and sometimes they do seem totally insurmountable, and I've met so many people in the last few weeks where that just seems to hold true, and yet the strength and the courage and the grace with which they handle their diseases, their challenges, is just so amazing, and it really, that's really what helps people move through. How's your daughter today?
You know, she is much better. With my second diagnosis, I think she, her thoughts were, you know, mom got through it the first time and she'll do it again. So she was better the second time. I'm sure that it's, you know, it's not far underneath the surface for her. She, you know, she's clingy, and but at the same time, like I said, I just hope that the I think when we're given difficult situations, it really they really are opportunities just to for self-growth. And, you know, I wanted her to see that in me. I wanted her to see that I took that as an invitation just to heal myself, to become more of myself, to overcome it, because it's possible.
Now, what would you say to women who presumably lead more of a healthy life, maybe they're not doing yoga, but maybe they're doing some other kinds of things, and yet they're not able to heal their breast cancer, and maybe they get it again and again, or it gets worse, or I mean, what do you tell those women?
Well, I would say you stack the odds in your favor. You do everything that you can to prevent yourself from getting breast cancer. And I do think there are choices in the way you live your life that will definitely provide that. And if you weren't living a healthy lifestyle before you got breast cancer, it's the time to try to do that. It's a little bit harder because you've got other things going on. We can't control what happens to us. We can just control how we react to that. And
we could also control, like you said, the choice. We could also control, like you said, the choices that we make, whether it's choices in nutrition or in how we're living our day, or in the choices in terms of activities, or even Susan mentioned before, choosing acupuncture or you with yoga,
right.
Ways that we can take a more of an active role in our own health and our own wellness.
And I think once you begin to honor yourself in whatever way, you know, you choose to, that then you begin to honor all parts of yourself. So the rest just comes, you know.
I think that's so true. Talk a little bit about, and I mean, I know what this means, integrative holistic healing and healthcare, because I practice that and preach it, but I don't know that all of our listening audience is as well-versed. So would you explain that a little bit?
Sure. In the work that I do, not only with cancer patients, but with, you know, anyone, and you know, everyone goes through certain times in their life when they need healing. What I do is I offer yoga therapy, which is a type of really just, you know, moving the body physically through a certain set of postures, depending on what your physical restrictions or limitations may be. I combine that with aromatherapy, which is the use of essential oils to promote the feeling of well-being. And I combine that also with nutrition counseling and then with Reiki. And Reiki is just a vibrational form of healing similar to healing touch that I explain it to people. It's when you're feeling bad, if someone reaches over and gives you a hug and it makes you feel better, that's what Reiki does. It's an energetic hug.
And, right, so, and that's energy too. That's transmitting energy, so that's great. And I
right.
love essential oils. I wouldn't go without it. And it's funny because I brought some of them to Thanksgiving dinner with my family, and I love it. I can't find anything wrong with them. And a couple of my family members said, "Oh, my God, what is that? What are you doing, Joanne?" And I'm thinking, Wouldn't you like some peppermint? Wouldn't you like?
I know. And all of these different things, really in combination, are just to reduce a patient's pain, physically, emotionally, spiritually, to decrease anxiety, to decrease symptoms possibly of prescription medications that they're given for pain, to decrease their exhaustion, all that in combination. And I think you should use as many tools as you have in your toolbox, because what works for someone isn't necessarily going to work for someone else. I sit in my yoga studio and I practice my yoga postures, but to someone else getting on their bike and riding 5 or 10 miles, that's their yoga.
If you have a routine, something like a practice, whatever it is, like you said, it could be bicycle riding, it could be walking, it could be Pilates,
right.
It could be yoga, but something that you do that helps you handle and cope and be, sort of promote wellness within yourself. I think you and I are like-minded in that regard. What would
right.
you say to people in terms of, we've talked about that holistic approach that also includes spirituality. If I may be so bold, what do you do spiritually to enhance your health and wellness?
I meditate every single day, and whether you want to call it meditating or praying, whatever word you want to define it as, I place myself in a quiet space. I come to my breath and I just allow myself to be still, from the inside as well as the outside. And when you do that and you offer that to yourself, you're actually able to experience the present moment. You're not living in the past or thinking about what could or might happen in the future. You're being present with yourself. And in that moment of being present, you will receive so many gifts, the gifts of clarity, the gifts of peace, groundedness, being uplifted. And to me, that's what spirituality is.
And, it's not just sitting, because there are walking. What I do is a walking meditation wherein I'm walking in a nice area and suddenly all those thoughts that, did I do this? Mm-hmm. Have I done this? All the things that I have to do. All those thoughts, Joan, quiet, and it gets to that same place that you're talking about. So I
right.
think it's powerful
how
it Yeah, it really is, but it's however we choose to do it, because some people have trouble sitting. And I remember years ago, I was studying with some yoga people, and the whole idea that they said was to sit upright. Well, I had an injury at the time, and I could not sit. And I thought, wait a minute, are you saying to me, and they weren't, but that's initially the message I got, are you saying that the only way that I can go within is to sit upright, and that means that I can't do it because I'm having too much
right.
pain to do that. But they clarified that, which I was very happy to hear, because they talked about your comfort level and the way that you have to do it with your own, with your own set of circumstances.
Absolutely, and you can sit in a chair, you can lie on a bed, you can walk, you can, like I said, get on your bicycle. Sometimes I consider my meditation walking my dog. So,
and you know what? I do that petting my cat. So,
yeah, exactly. And I actually practice Reiki on my dog and use all the essential oils. So he's the best smelling dog in town.
That's amazing, because my cat doesn't like all the essential oils, but she loves peppermint. I've been using a lot of peppermint, so she seems to not run when I use the peppermint oil. Great. You're also on the For Wholeness community and site. What advice would you give people? We only have a few moments here. What advice would you give to other women, to their families and caregivers, if you just had to give them three sentences of wisdom about wholeness, integrative medicine, whatever?
I would say empower yourself. Take time to practice self-care, whatever that means for you. what else would I say? I think trust. I think trust yourself, because your intuition will never lead you in the wrong direction. As far as your,
you know, I think when people get sick, though, oftentimes they get into such a fearful state that sometimes it's really very difficult to have that sense of trust that you're talking about, because they're confused, or like I said, they're scared, or they don't know what's the right thing anymore. So maybe they lose that, because suddenly here they are and they're sick, and it was not something that they intended, and they didn't know how it came about, and so. Trust is not something that's so easily accessed, but it's important.
Right. I think
I totally
even,
agree with
right.
you.
It's important, but then I think you have to seek out what will, you know, cultivate your own self-trust, you know, whatever that is for you. It's a time to then seek that out if you aren't able to find that within yourself at the moment, and that's completely understandable. Then you try... You know, maybe you try acupuncture, maybe you try meditation, maybe you try, and those practices will give you that and lead you to that place of being able to trust yourself and trust that all is well.
You know, you and I both work with women with breast cancer. So the clients that come to you, what are a couple of their major concerns that they share with you?
I would say the number one concern is anxiety. You know, like we just said, being afraid, feeling like they have no control over the situation, and worrying about their loved ones. You know, those are the biggest things that I see and I talk to with patients. But I would definitely say anxiety is up there.
Now, you mentioned that you have more than one child. So how did your other children or child handle your breast cancer?
My son was actually with me when I got the call for the first diagnosis. He was great. He was great. He later on said to me, he goes, "Mom, you told me everything was going to be okay, and I believed you."
Wow.
So I didn't worry. But he was, you know, I say he was fine. You really never know how anyone is. I think people try to be strong for each other. But we definitely have a close relationship. And I think it's, you know, partly because, you know, he was old enough to know what was going on when I was going through it. And, yeah.
Well, that's very important, and I think that relationship is important, too, because even the children and the loved ones can go immediately into that anxiety and that fear that we're talking about that people with breast cancer have, and it's so important that, to some extent, that be quelled and that they're able to talk about their fears and their concerns and be able to vocalize that without feeling that's not okay.
That's very true, and my daughter actually went and saw a therapist at school while she was going through some of her things, and it helped her a great deal to be able to speak to someone other than me, because it was hard for her to speak to me when she was worried that, you know, asking me questions or talking about it with me would be upsetting for me. So
right.
It helped her a great deal, so yeah.
And I think that's important. So, Joan, how do people get a hold of you? You do so much, and you're certainly on the forwholeness.com community. But how do people get a hold of you if they want to connect with you?
They can get a hold of me through, actually, the website is thehealingconsciousness.com. The Healing Consciousness is a foundation that provides these holistic services to breast cancer patients, anyone that's diagnosed or going through treatment for breast cancer, not only for them but for their families and their loved ones as well. So again, that's thehealingconsciousness.com, and that's where you can reach me, or you can come to my personal website. It's jmcdevitt62@verizon.net.
Wonderful. Thank you, Joan, so much. It's so wonderful that you've been open to share your courageous journey and that you found ways to really work with healing yourself and work with creating a, a personal environment, which is even an internal environment for wholeness. So thanks for being such a great guest. And best of luck.
Oh, and thank you so much. Thank you for putting this out there for all women. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Take care. So, folks, we've been listening a lot today about self-care and the importance of your own journey. And so it's time to think about that. And I know that we all have busy lives. And I'm not just talking to women. I'm talking to women and men and children. But I also know that taking some time for you, whether it is what Joan or Susan spoke of in terms of meditation, or I will even say connecting with people that are close to you, with loved ones that you can have a conversation with and share your thoughts and your feelings, is also very essential. Take time, or it's more not taking time, it's making time, because I hear so often people saying, oh, I don't have time, I can't have time, life is so busy. Yes, you're right, life is busy. However, it is so important to take some moments because you are important, and what you do with your life now, this present day, can have impact on tomorrow and on those you love. So take some time for you, whether it's taking a few moments today to just breathe, or to sit quietly, or to even give yourself a hug. How many people actually wrap their arms around themselves and give themselves a hug? Oftentimes we don't hug enough. So here's an opportunity. Do it if it seems strange, do it when nobody's around, but give yourself that special hug. Breathe, and remember, as I said, you are important. And you are the one, as Joan said so beautifully, we have so many things in our lives that we cannot control. You are the one that can control your response to whatever it is and can really control your self-care and your health care as much as possible. So make that choice. Make that decision and take care of you today. This is Dr. Joanne White. You can go to my website, drjoannewithanewhite.com. You can also see some of my articles and a meditation on the forwholeness.com community. And next week, we are going to talk about relationships. Yes, even though this yesterday was Valentine's Day, we're still going to celebrate Valentine's Day. But the first guest is going to be Dr. Annabelle Charbit, who is going to talk about relationships with a psychopath. Stay tuned for that. And then we have Amy Lee McCree, who's going to talk about the Spiritual Girl's Guide to Dating, Your Enlightened Path to Love, Sex, and Soulmate. So stay tuned next Wednesday, and have a blessed day and a blessed week, and do whatever you can to power your life right now.
You've been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the upbeat show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting
TheToolbox.com and Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.